On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you. Jay Binkley filling in again for Cody. Binkley will fill in one more time before Cody's back next week. Logan filling in tomorrow and
next
on
week.
Monday. That's right. That's right.
Hell, man.
Bink's been giving Cody crap
next
all
week.
Show.
He's got a full weekend.
All show long, Bink's been giving Cody a hard time.
Is he come back for Colts week, I guess?
He'll be back next week. He'll be back next Wednesday. We'll get to the trash of the day. Here in about 15 minutes or so. Did someone, I'll give the text line credit. Somebody texted this in. I was not aware that it had reached this number. So the Mega Millions jackpot's getting up there. Okay. The next drawing is tomorrow. And the cash option is $445 million. But the jackpot, estimated jackpot, $965 million, as in 96.5 the fan.
That's right.
I mean, is this not a sign? Is this not a sign that as a station, as a group, maybe this show, I don't know. I was going to say station, but. We, I think, have to pool some money together and go office pool here.
You see it all the time. Winning lottery tickets are from a company where everybody kind of chipped in for it. It's what happens.
And we got to talk to the boss.
But they are $5 now because Powerball did. Or
Mega Millions
is $5.
Yeah.
Which is silly.
It's ridiculous. But, yeah.
But like you always joke about, that if it's $300 million, people don't play. It's $900 million, everybody
plays. Yeah, it's almost a bill.
It's like $300 million is not good enough for you.
Almost $1 billion. But $965, I mean, it is. Come on. We've never
like
had this since the station switched over to 96.5, yeah. The fan, yep. FM. We haven't had a $965 million jackpot. I'm just saying.
I'll pitch in right now. Let's do
it. Okay, you're in for a ticket or two?
I'm
10 bucks, two tickets?
Couple tickets.
You're in for 10?
Yeah.
You're in for 10. Drew, can you get in for 10? All of a sudden, we've got $30 worth of ticket. We get Drew along with CDOT,
Rob,
Dusty,
Rob
Speck.
Yeah.
I think we got to do this, you know?
Have Cody go get it. He's not doing anything.
Well, I'll text him and see if he wants in the pool. See if he's capable of going out and getting a ticket, or if he can Venmo me or something. I'm just saying, we might as well have some fun with this.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the storybook, you know, ending to all this, you know? $965 million, 96.5
million. They'd be looking for 10 new hosts.
They would be. You know what? That's their problem.
Open.
That's their problem at that point in time. Anyway, thank you to the texter that mentioned that. I did not see the jackpot amount, but that is funny that it happens to be that. All right, let's talk about Eli Drinkwitz a little bit here. So we all know his name has been coming up for some of the openings, and we'll see how it all plays out. This year, sky-high expectations. Unfortunately, their quarterback got hurt. That did not help things for them. But they, prior to that Vanderbilt game, they were in position where you win that game, you would have been sitting pretty good.
Yeah, all except the A&M game, they've been in position.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
This was the year, too, Drew, or Alex, because they weren't playing a road game until October 18th, which is an unusual schedule. They didn't have to go on the road till October 18th, but I get it.
Okay. So
this was the year.
He was speaking to the media yesterday. And we're talking about the college football playoff system that we have, right? It's a 12-team playoff, and all the talk is about getting into the playoff. This was on Tiger Talk, and this was Eli Drinkwitz.
And there's always something to play for. I talked about this in the SEC media days, okay? We got to get out of this. Oh, man, it's playoffs or bust. Yes, again, we're shooting for the moon. We're going to put our whole self into that. But only 12 teams make the playoffs, and we put ourselves in position in November to be there. Okay, didn't get it done. I got that. But if the season only counts for 12 football teams, and we got 127 Division I playing football teams, that math's not going to math very well. That math's not going to math very well. Okay? Football is more than just the playoff potential. And, again, we were there. We were there. We didn't get it done. But, you know, there's a whole heck of a lot to be proud of. There's a whole heck of a lot to play for. Again, when I took over, we didn't go to a bowl game. We had NCAA probation. All right? And ever since then, we've been going to a bowl game. And, you know, there's a lot of programs right now that would trade us spots. I had a coach text me today. Said, Coach, there's a lot of programs in the country that would trade for the number of wins your team has. And that's a perspective that most people don't have.
So that was Eli Drinkwitz on Tiger Talk. Now let me say this. I don't think, in general, his point is incorrect. I think he's the wrong messenger. I'll get to that in a second. I think the point is correct. There are plenty of programs that would love to have, I don't know what Missouri's going to end up with. Let's say it's 9 wins. I don't know what their final win total is going to be. We'll see how they do against, obviously, Oklahoma, and what they got Arkansas still on the schedule as well, Mississippi State this weekend or whatever. So I don't know what their win total is going to be. And yeah, there's plenty of programs. Heck, you guys know on the Kansas side of things with KU, you know, they're sitting on 5 wins. We'll see if they get to bowl eligibility and finish with 6. There are plenty of KU fans will be thrilled to have 9 win season. So I'm not saying he's not correct on that, but I must say, after having an 11 win season, a 10 win season, and expectations to make the college football playoff, you're in the SEC, which is brutal, but also it gives you the luxury of you don't have to win the SEC to get in the college football playoff. You don't have to finish anywhere near that at all. That if I was a fan of a program where my coach was saying that, like, it's not all just about the college football playoff, if I'm LSU, if I'm Florida, two programs that might be interested in hiring him, I don't like hearing. In fact, this makes me think he's not leaving Missouri.
It's a bad look all the way around. Then I'll say this whole excuse of get in the bowl games, that whole nonsense there. Goldear's 36 bowl games, 11 with the college football playoff. It's 47 total.
It's crazy.
But so we're looking at 52% of 136. So if you take 36 times two teams, 52% of a college football teams are in a bowl game. So just making it to a bowl game, I'm sorry, that's not good enough. I've seen two coaches fired that have played in a bowl game. So we had 8 bowl games in 1980. So the excuse of just making a bowl game and trading there, no. When 52% of teams make a bowl game, that's not good enough.
When you have one of the top recruiting classes, when you've got
best portal,
pretty good NIL backing behind you, and for 2 years prior, you were a 10-11 win team. Yeah, it's normal to have the thought that you need. It's a college football playoff season or bust.
It's ridiculous in several factors, and I get it, getting to the playoffs, but that should be everybody's goal. And if I'm LSU or Florida or Penn State or anybody else, I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, I'll take 10 or 11 wins. That's great. But you know what? Nebraska fired Solich for double-digit wins. It's about winning it all. Any sport you get into should be about rings. It should be about championship, getting yourself in a dance. For Missouri, they had to be pissed when they look at A&M or Ole Miss or Alabama or Georgia, these teams that are right now in the college football playoffs. They should be upset. That should be the expectation. When you're one of the top highest-paid coaches in college football and you're making $10 million a year, yes, the fan base – with all the money they're ponying up, keep in mind, these teams go to fan bases all the time. Hey, can you help us? Missouri's doing a whole new end zone. Kansas is doing a new facility. When you go to donors and ask for millions of dollars, and then all of a sudden you go back to them and ask for nil money to pay players, and so you're going back on all this, your expectation in fans paying you millions of dollars, donors should have the expectation that you want to win a championship because they're reaching into their pockets and their bank accounts for millions of dollars for someone that's just happy to go to a bowl game that 52% of teams make.
Where I'll defend him, I know you guys are shocked that I'm willing to defend Eli Drinkwitz because you all think that I can't look at Missouri neutrally. I can. I would say he obviously has a goal, and his ultimate goal is to win a national championship. He obviously is not happy with where it looks like their season is going to go.
I don't want to. He was in the college football playoffs.
But
now.
That I will agree. I think if they were undefeated or had one loss, he's not saying this. I agree with you there. However, I don't want to make it seem like he's now just fine with being a bowl team. He's clearly not. That's why I said he's the wrong messenger though, because he's the coach of a program that was 3 weeks ago, that's all you were thinking was college football playoff. And now that it's probably clear that you're not making the college football playoff, now it's like, well, see, it's not that. Now, he said he has brought this up before. I think at the beginning of the clip, he said, hey, I've mentioned this before tonight. But it's not something I would ever want my coach saying is all I'm that's all I would get at. Like, if I'm a fan or a donor, I don't want my coach saying, you know, there's more to it than just making college football playoffs.
Yeah, if he's making $9 million a year, which he is,
yep,
and your goal is not to win at all or be in that dance when you see teams like SMU and crap like that get into the college football playoffs, you should have that expectation. And I get it. Prabilla was hurt. That is a setback for them. But they're bringing out Ahmad Hardy, Zaya Trotter, Damon Wilson. I mean, they hit that portal hard, and they did a great job with it. But your expectations are the college football playoffs. Sorry, that's the game they play. And the game that play is you pay the players. Nil money, new stadiums, new facilities go up all the time. Texas Tech, with that oil money, just built a brand-new $250 million facility that are done by donors that pony up four championships as the expectation. So I just don't like that, because your only goal is a college football coach. Yeah, it's about young men going to college and going to the field. That's not the way it is anymore. It's about guys getting paid to do commercials, guys getting paid from video games, guys getting paid to play the game of football. The goal is a championship, and it should be nothing else.
Yeah, but Bink, I think that because there are only 12 teams that make it, like, just because you have expectations, the margins of error, especially in the SEC, is so razor thin that you can fail expectations but still have a great season. Like, I think Florida, obviously one of the openings that's available right now, they would kill to have, forget making the playoff, they would kill to have the three seasons that Missouri has had 2 years ago and this one. Florida would kill to have the seasons that Missouri's had.
But if they had that year three straight, if they did that three straight years, then by that point in time, you're expecting you to be in the college football playoff, right?
I understand that, but that doesn't mean that it's a bad season. I think that's where we're starting. It's not college football playoff or bust, where there is that line in the sand where if you don't make the playoff, it's a bad season. That's what, to me, if you're going to say college football playoff or bust, if you don't make the playoff, then it's a bad season, which I think is a load of crap for college football.
But you also,
because of the way that it's been.
I think so. You're not alone on that thinking. I think some of this, though, is those that are, and look, you and Bink are probably at the station, the two most hardcore college football people at the station. I think that's fair to say, right? And so I think some of this is like you love college football so much that like you wanted to, like, you guys watch MAC football on Tuesday nights and stuff. My point is this, that what you're saying, which is like, there's way more than the playoff. You guys also want it to be viewed as this grand best sport that there is on earth, and like everything's perfect about it and all this kind of stuff. And that, to me, is not reality, though. Like, the players will themselves sit out the random bowl game that's on December 23rd because it doesn't mean anything.
I think, to me, but this is the thing. If you're a player, though, if you want to say, I want to play for a championship contender, you're not going to Missouri because I didn't make the playoff. You wouldn't even go to Ole Miss.
But they could have, though, because SMU can sell that.
Hang on a second, Bink. Hang on.
Clemson can sell that. They've been.
You wouldn't go to Florida because they haven't sniffed the playoff in 3 years. You wouldn't go to Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin has never made it to a college football playoff before.
I get it, but Florida has those expectations because they have rings.
I know.
Spurrier won a ring. Urban Meyer won a couple. They have expectations because they see the other teams and they want to get to that spot.
But if you're a player and you say, I want to play for a championship title contender, and if you view the sport as college football player for bust, then you're only committing to 12 teams.
You know what? If you're going to have that
committing
attitude,
you're not committing to Florida. You're not going to LSU.
You know what? If schools are going to have this attitude, don't reach the donors. Don't reach out to the donors. Say, we need millions of dollars to pay our coach. We have $189 million being paid right now for buyouts for coaches. $54 million to Brian Kelly if he gets it. $49 million for James Franklin. You know where that money comes from a lot of times? The money comes from donors that end up stepping up for the school and help paying off the coach's buyout. So you pay out the buyout, then they reach out back to you, call you again to pay the new coach's salary. Oh, no, they call you again because they want to put clubs in the stadium. They reach out. Oh, we need to get better players at our school. They reach out to you again. So if you're selling them that are now putting in billions of dollars or millions of dollars, and you're reaching out to them saying, well, if we don't make the playoffs, we're okay. That's not what they want to hear.
But again, if you look at Penn State, I think Penn State is learning very quickly that they made the wrong decision in getting rid of James Franklin.
That's different. I don't disagree.
Because they were not happy at not beating big teams, and instead they're going to hire a coach that is worse than James Franklin is at this point.
I agree.
And probably can't win big games either.
Like, but isn't that also proof? I'm not saying it's right, but isn't that also proof that their donors also believe that for them it's playoffs or bust, it's national title or bust? That's why they fired them.
It's the new attitude of fan. That's what they want.
But because you don't make a playoff or because you lose in the playoff doesn't mean that you should just fire the coach because of expectations that are not handled properly.
Nobody's
when that
saying
coach
Eli
is
should
one
get
of
fired.
No, I'm with you 100% on that. Eli deserves.
Nobody's
to stay.
Saying that's a different conversation.
I think the premise that Florida and LSU should not be interested in Coach Drinkwitz because of the comments is ridiculous. Because
if I'm a donor, I don't want that guy.
Missouri's been better than Brian Kelly has been the last two seasons. I don't understand
you
how.
You know what? He's gone. Because he didn't reach those expectations.
Brian Kelly is gone because he there was a locker room problem.
James Franklin went to a college football playoff last year. He went to a college football playoff and he's already gone. You know why? Because those expectations of Penn State are to win.
But having those expectations as an organization and as boosters is problematic because you're never going to. Eli Drinkwitz is a top 20 head coach in the country. You're not going to find that guy very often. Even if you're Florida and you try to go and pay somebody. Who's to say that that coach is going to succeed and you're just going to keep on doing the same old circle
well,
again?
That's where to me, that's
you
a different.
Have to look at
everybody
getting
trophy.
Florida, if you're Florida and you go 9-3 every single year, does it meet your expectations of making the playoff? No, but you're damn well in a better place than you've been in for the last 5 years or 6 years.
Yeah, so I don't disagree with
that.
I view that as almost two separate conversations. If you're saying it's out of control with the buyouts and how coaches get fired for I understand the connection, but I view it as a little bit separate. I think it's just more that acting like the fan bases should not just be happy to go to New Year's Six Bowls if you're at the level of to me where an SEC program is at. You're right. Every school has different expectations. At Kansas, nobody's saying college football playoffs or bust, you know, but at some point, just making a bowl game as a 6-win team is also not good enough. At Missouri, after a 10-11 win season and back-to-back years, just going to a December 29th bowl game is no longer good enough. I understand why fans have that sentiment.
I disagree because if you look at the SEC, when the way that the play, I think it's more championship or bust if we go to 16 teams, legitimately.
Okay.
I think
I was going to ask you what the solution is.
That's fair.
Because for Missouri right now, the SEC is so good that one. This is the thing. They've lost. Let's say A&M kicked a game-winning field goal and won. All three of their losses would have been razor-thin one-score games. That's enough for you to be pissed off at a coach because you lost three one-score games that were really close.
Drew, let me ask you this.
Somebody didn't quite come through. I think there's levels to you being ridiculous if you are mad and say it's a terrible season. If you go 9-3 and your three losses were by one possession, I think that is crazy.
The school comes to you. They want a $2 million donation. Are you going to tell them I expect playoffs, or are you just going to give it to them?
I think
they have expectations with that money.
I think coach having high expectations, which Coach Drinkwitz
like if you're not
does,
going to the playoffs, are you ponying up $2 million? So you get the bank transfer for $2 million if they can't guarantee you, hey, we want to make a playoffs.
Bink, nope. Then no coach would get paid anything. Then no donors would donate anything. You cannot guarantee. Alabama missed the playoff last year. You cannot guarantee anything. So when you're going and say, this is what we're trying to do, this is what we're rooting for, you got to get that buy-in from more than just we're championship or bust, because I think if you're selling championship or bust, you're selling dramatically high expectations that you are very likely to fail on.
We're talking about James Franklin won two games in the college football playoffs last year. He beat SMU and Boise State, and he's gone. You know why? They have expectations at Penn State.
Because the Big Ten is very top-heavy. Penn State last year could have... Just they were going to make the playoff. It was always going to be that way. This season they kind of fell apart on them. But last year, in the Big Ten, it's more top heavy. This year is kind of the same way. The SEC is so deep and so difficult that the margins of error are so thin that to me, you finishing seventh in the SEC and going 9-3, 10-3 with a bowl win is very good given how tough the conference is. You're not going to make the playoff every year because the conference is so tough. That's why. Sorry to tell Missouri fans this. You made your bed when you went to the SEC because you wanted more money and a secure future. You probably sacrificed a shot at the playoff for an easier shot because you left the Big 12, which is an easier conference.
We're going to move on. Obviously, we'll get back to this. I would just say lastly that nobody is suggesting that Missouri is having a terrible season if they win nine games, but I think there's still a balance.
If you're saying college football playoff or bust, I think you are saying that then.
Yeah, I think it depends on what the expectation was going into the season. Like there can be some truth on both sides, right? Like you're trying to build off of the season that you had before as well. Like if Kansas, and we're almost at this point now, like if Kansas wins seven games in a row for four straight years, and then they have a top recruiting class, and going into the season, the expectation is to win the Big 12 and go to the college football playoff, and they get seven wins again, it is a bad season. It's okay to say that. It's okay to not be complacent while also not claiming the coach should get fired. Nobody's saying Eli Drinkwitz should get fired by winning nine games. I don't think anybody's suggesting that at all.
Would you say that Kansas State is having a bad season?
Based on their expectations, yes, absolutely.
I think
they can tangibly get to the playoffs.
I think K-State has a bad season if they lose, if they don't make a bowl game and they lose Avery Johnson. Because if they find a way to get to 8-5 and they retain Avery Johnson, they found a way to stay as good as they can be. Otherwise,
there's one other thing to bother me. One other thing to bother me. When Eli said math doesn't math, there's 127 teams.
Well, I don't care about that.
Well, here's the deal. If you're going to use the word math doesn't math, understand and believe there's 136 teams in FBS football, not 127. So don't say math doesn't math when there's actually 136.
We'll get back to this later. Obviously, we disagree on the expectation. I think some of this does have to do with our fandom and teams that we particularly root for. I'm talking on the pro level as well as the college level as well, and what we expect and where expectations are at. But let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
All right, this is a bizarre one. This takes us to a Chinese influencer, okay? He's a fashion and beauty content creator on social media.
Like Drew.
Revealed that 20% of his body contains, I think, hyaluronic acid. I think it's how it's pronounced. He went viral when he spent 4 million, won or whatever? 562,000 U.S. dollars. How about that? To have 40 doses of acid injected into his shoulders, collarbones, chest, and abdomen. So he has it. There's a photo, Bink. I'll show you. He has like an 8-pack, but it's all because he was injected with acid, which I'm sure is totally healthy and there's no repercussions. Experts did warn that his commitment to these acid injections could have very serious long-term consequences like bone erosion, blood vessel necrosis, weakening of the natural muscles, and acid pouch displacement. He is trying to reach 10,000 of these injections. It's a fake 8-pack, the first of its kind in China.
I always like that football fan that shaved the 6-pack in his chest hair so it looks like
that
a 6-pack.
That was you.
I would do that. It's much safer.
It is much safer.
Much safer.
$500,000, guys.
That's crazy.
Those ramifications would have you rethinking.
Someone's experienced this. From the 816, I injected acid once. It was a trip.
Wow. Yeah,
I think different type of... I think if that kind of acid, just a little bit different.
Same person said Bink can relate.
Did you tried this way back in your heyday when you were playing football at Pitt State.
Not with the injections.
You weren't injecting yourself with anything?
I didn't get any injections.
Oh, I thought you said not only injections.
I did take that stuff McGuire took.
Wait a second.
Because it was legal at GNC, the stuff McGuire took.
Someone says they would do injections if it didn't have to work out. I think this guy is going to have some major health problems here in about 15 or 20 years. Mm-hmm. You see what they've said? Degrading of bones, blood vessel problems, necrosis, whatever the hell that means. I'm not a doctor. That sounds bad, you know? That sounds bad. Someone says, I'll just do steroids instead.
Yeah. Be safer with steroids, even though there's a lot of ramifications with that.
$500,000, too.
Yeah.
He's an influencer. He's just doing it for the money.
Give it to a school.
And he's going to... When all the influencer stuff is done for him, when he's old, even if he has this fake 8-pack, and he starts to have health problems, nobody's going to remember who the hell this dude is. Nobody's going to care. And he's going to be...
But he had a lot of likes and followers, right?
He did. Do it for the likes. Do it for the likes. That is the trash of the day. Up next, guys, let's get back into Chiefs Broncos and... Who needs this one more, right? Everybody's favorite question. I think there's a case for both. And an early look at free agency, Jeremy Fowler did that, and there's one Chiefs player on the list that might surprise you.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. One quick thing non-Chiefs related during the commercial break. Saw this come across. The College Football Playoff will have a new chairman as the Baylor Athletic Director, Mac Rhodes, is stepping down from both the role as Baylor Athletic Director and College Football Playoff Chairman. There is an investigation happening for an incident that occurred at Baylor involving him or under his watch. So he's done at Baylor, done as the College Football Playoff Chairman. The expectation is that Utah's AD, at least the Big 12 is recommending that Utah's AD, Mark Harlan, will be the replacement. So
not a good time for that to happen 2 weeks into it.
No, but just we were just talking college football playoff, and so there you go.
Not good for Mac. Finally get to be chairman. That's huge. You take care of your orders there. That's a big deal.
Well, take care of your orders at Baylor first. How about that?
And then
you'll be good. All right, let's talk some Chiefs football. Chiefs Broncos Sunday, 3:25 kickoff right here on 96.5 The Fan. And I was talking about, I know even the guys this morning were discussing this somewhat at a different angle, which was, you know, the idea of which team has a little bit more pressure. I think Dusty was talking about player-wise Patrick Mahomes. I want to talk team, and to me, you can make a case for both, but I look at it as, is this as a standings argument or kind of the mental edge and dethroning the Chiefs? Because I think you could argue the Broncos do have more pressure than the Chiefs. Yes, Kansas City loses this game and you look at the division and it becomes nearly impossible. And the Chiefs are 5-5 and the playoff path gets very challenging in what they have to do down the stretch. But on the same side, the Broncos, you've been owned by Kansas City for a decade. You have a chance here to get to 9 wins, eliminate Kansas City. To me, validate in a way your season you're having and show that we're the new kings of the AFC West kind of deal. And if you don't, there's pressure. If you don't, then everybody's going to say, same thing. Broncos Chargers is going to choke this away. Here comes Kansas City, yada, yada, yada. I think there's pressure with that, Bink. Like, the Broncos are making the playoffs no matter what happens on Sunday. That's not the issue. This is not a who needs it for the playoffs more. I'm saying there's a psyche to it. There's dethroning the champs kind of element to it if you win on Sunday.
Yeah, it should be that way. And you heard Nick Benito speak, and the fact he played earlier about knocking off the Kings of the division. Yeah, they should have that mindset about stopping the Chiefs, and it's been embarrassing for the Broncos. What was a great rivalry? I know they've been better lately, but they did have that field goal blocked last year. Then, of course, they ran up the score when the Chiefs didn't play any starters that last week of the season. But the Chiefs 17-3 against the Broncos in the last decade. And, of course, there was that nice 16-game run where the Chiefs beat them. That's just embarrassing. Like, if you had one team beat you 16 straight times, that's embarrassing. And they have been great against them. They were close last year at Arrowhead Stadium. I give them that. Came down to a field goal, but they did lose the game. But to have a team win your division 9 straight times, that's incredibly embarrassing. And when you get that shot, you get that golden opportunity to go out there and have a chance to knock them off and punch them out. Knock them out. Again, so many teams take swings, but they don't knock them out. And that's been the thing. This is a chance for somebody at least to knock them out for the division, not the playoffs in the whole grand scheme of things, but a chance in the division to knock them off.
As I said, I think there's a couple ways to look at it, because I don't disagree with this text, 913-586-7965. As I acknowledge, I think if we just view it and you want to view it as who needs it more to make sure they have a chance to win the division, well, then there's no question. Obviously, there's more pressure on the Chiefs for that angle. I just think there's the other angle, which is what we were discussing, which is the mental side of it, and knowing that you've finally got over the hurdle, you've ended potentially a 9-year run and all of that. Now, someone says, I disagree, Denver playing with house money, the Chiefs have to win the game or else their season is in jeopardy. Again, that I agree with that. I'm just viewing, I don't think it is just as simple as who needs it for the standings more. That's like the simple way to look at it, no question. I mean, you know, same thing will apply next week against the Colts. Who needs the game more? It's not going to be Colts if we're just basing it off of standings. Once again, it'll be next week if we're just saying it's about who needs it for the standings more, the answer will not be the Colts next week either. But I think in this particular circumstance for the Chiefs and the Broncos, there is a huge aspect to it that if Kansas City goes into your home, beats you, there's still the thought, I think, even in Denver, and there already is kind of that right this week, which is, all right, yeah, are we really better than them this year still? Is this the year that we actually overtake them? That's all I'm saying.
Well, they're still a bridesmaid in this division. They realize that. Yeah, this game is just as important to the Kansas City Chiefs as the Denver Broncos, but it's a golden opportunity right in front of them at their home stadium to go out and actually be able to seize this division. People go back and forth beginning of the year. Is it going to be the Chargers, the Broncos, or the Chiefs? Well, it's been the Chiefs 9 straight years, 7 straight AFC title games. This is an all-important opportunity for the Denver Broncos to seize what's in front of them, which is beating the Kansas City Chiefs, because it's embarrassing what they've done to them. And they've, you know what? I give Denver credit in this. Their mindset, like Buffalo, Buffalo's roster was built to beat the Chiefs. Their first 5 draft picks were on the defense. And they go out and get Bosa to help stop Mahomes and be able to put pressure on Mahomes. So Buffalo kind of built things the right way. Well, Denver's doing it that way more so than anybody else in the division. The Chargers, the Raiders, Denver's mindset, when you look at their draft, look at the things they made, the positions they've made by getting free agents, it's to stop the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the right mindset to have. It's the same mindset the Chiefs had to knock off New England. They were tired of New England kind of running this dynasty, running the AFC. Forget about the division. Who's better than the AFC? Denver needs to worry about the division first and then the AFC. Buffalo said, you know what? We're not worried about the division. We want to stop the Kansas City Chiefs. And now there's New England. It's a real problem for the Buffalo Bills. But the Chiefs saw one thing. It wasn't Denver. Wasn't the Raiders. Wasn't the Chargers. Get through New England. So who's one guy that stopped an undefeated New England team in the Super Bowl? Steve Spagnuolo. Enter Steve Spagnuolo to the Chiefs defense, defensive coordinator, because they knew they had the draft and they had to stop the New England Patriots. And I'll give Denver's mindset is the Kansas City Chiefs, all Kansas City Chiefs, and that's the mindset they should have.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, yeah, if you're the Denver Broncos, everybody, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody knows what's at stake. I mean, you can... I don't think the Chargers will end up catching the Broncos. So to me, if the Broncos win this game, they win this division. And that's there's pressure with that is all I'm saying. Like, as much as it is for Kansas City, there is pressure with you being, you know, to a certain extent expected to finally get over the hump. Now, they're underdogs. It's like they can talk themselves into the playing the card of nobody respects us if they want to play that inside
like
the locker
Chiefs
room
against the Ravens.
Yeah, like you can definitely go with that angle if you're the Broncos. I mean, they are literally underdogs in the game. They are 3.5-point underdogs at home to a Chiefs team that has 5 wins. They're sitting there with 8, so they can definitely use that. Hey, they're not taking us seriously. they, even though the Chiefs are, but you know how that goes. People will take any national narrative and spin it and use it as fuel.
The Chiefs are top of mind, and they know that. The ratings came out earlier showing you three of the top five highest rated games this year. 55 of the top 60 were NFL games, were live football games. But the mindset is the Chiefs were three of the top five. Why is that? Not everybody loves the Chiefs. They love to see the Chiefs lose. The Chiefs have gotten up to this pedestal now where people want to see the Chiefs either win or lose. And there's a lot of people who want to see them lose. I get that. But the bottom line is the Chiefs are in everybody's conscience. The Chiefs are in everybody's minds. You know, you're not three of the top five highest rated games if people aren't thinking Kansas City Chiefs. And you know what? Coming up Thanksgiving, that Dallas and Kansas City game will go to the top.
It'll set a record.
So the Chiefs will be four of the top five watch games in the National Football League this year, because the Chiefs are top of mind, and they should be, and Denver is treating it as such.
All right, let's pivot a little bit to looking ahead of the offseason. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN put out his early free agent rankings, and this will get us into a conversation about the secondary, and as it relates to this Sunday and a player that I think is having a better year than people realize. But so he came out with his early free agent rankings, and if you're just wondering, number one on the list, you're probably not surprised, Trey Hendrickson, right, of Cincinnati. Some other key names, Daniel Jones, although I think we all know he's probably about to get an extension with the Colts, but George Pickens is on the list, Brees Hall, Alec Pierce, let's see, and a couple other big-time names on the Mike Evans. You've got Jalen Watson at 15 on this list. So he will be 26 years old this offseason. He'll be 27 entering next season. I apologize. So he's 26 right now. He is currently making $3.4 million. Here is what Jeremy Fowler said. Watson isn't a marquee name, but is one that generated buzz when discussing free agents with teams. Quote, he'll have a nice market, an AFC executive said. He could surprise some people. And it goes on to say the Chiefs extension candidate includes Trent McDuffie, which could force Watson to go elsewhere during the offseason. I have said this over and over about Jalen Watson. He has had a little bit of an injury history, but when he's on the field, I actually think he gets hated on a little too much from this fan base. I actually think he's been a pretty damn good corner for this football team when he's healthy. He's also had a really nice season. Certainly when the offseason happened, everybody just assumed Christian Fulton was going to automatically do corner for this team. That hasn't been the case. It's a whole separate conversation how he can't get on the field and everything, despite the contract they gave him. But Jalen Watson, barring something shocking, it does feel like this is his last year in Kansas City, Bank.
Well, I think so, and it shows. It goes back to, and I know people like to talk about Britt Veach's draft picks a lot, which I think is silly because he's done a great job. But people bring up draft picks, but they won't bring this one up. Jalen Watson was a seventh-round pick. So you have a seventh-round pick that's now coveted in the NFL, like Charvarius Ward was when he traded Parker Anger to the Cowboys for Charvarius Ward. These are all things the GM does. And the Chiefs have been able to supplant and replace different players, just like Snead. Everybody thought the world was going to collapse when L'Jarius Snead left. And brought back a third-round pick, which you look back now, and a pick swap in the seventh, that looks like a great move right now by getting rid of Snead. But everybody wanted it. And Jalen Watson's the same deal. And again, this is why Noah Williams is drafted in the fourth round. The Chiefs have this unique ability to draft defensive backs, corners, from the mid-rounds on, mid-rounds to the late day, like Jalen Watson was. Like when they got Nazi Johnson, they contributed in Super Bowl 57, seventh-round pick. They have this ability to do it, and I think a lot of it is, you know, Brett Veach will scout these players. He'll give, you know, Spags, you know, a list of the players, you know, which one kind of fits into your system the best, and you get input from the Chiefs coaching staff. But make no mistake about it, Jalen Watson, I mean, that was a seventh-round pick that everybody's like, yeah, well, just throw in pick by the Chiefs. They don't view seventh-round picks like that. And you look at what has happened. Creed Humphrey wasn't even a first-round pick, and all of a sudden he's the highest-paid center in the NFL. Trey Smith, a sixth-round pick, and all of a sudden he's the highest-paid guard in the National Football League. So, yeah, when we look at the drafts, you make evaluations, it's guys like Jalen Watson that were seventh-round picks that come in and provide value. And this is what the Chiefs do. This is what the blueprint of what the Chiefs are and how they've been good is getting these late-round draft picks you're not paying a ton of money to that contribute greatly to the team that go on elsewhere, something else. But I have full belief if Jalen Watson goes to another place. Not everybody's Trent McDuffie's a first-round pick, you know, as a cornerback that comes in here. No, the Chiefs take mid-rounders and late-rounders and make them great diamonds in the rough of the National Football League. But Jalen Watson, last year was going to be a battle. Is it going to be Jalen or Joshua Williams? You know, both draft picks with the Chiefs. Who's has the other hand? I thought maybe Joshua Williams, you know, at first because he was playing just as good as Jalen Watson, but it is totally different now. Jalen Watson has been fantastic.
Yes, I just, it sounds like executives around the league believe it. We're going to be one of those players where you get to the second day of free agency or something, and you're like, we're all like, wow, I can't believe, good for him. Great contract. Kind of like the Turk Warden thing. And obviously the Chiefs are missing Turk Warden. Now, not for that dollar amount that he got paid in Carolina, but certainly he could help this team. But the point was, we were all shocked to see the dollar amount Turk Warden got. Feels like that's what's about to happen for Jalen Watson, where fans are going to look at it and say, I can't believe X team gave him 3 years, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's kind of where it's heading. And if that's the case, then he's probably not back. Now, someone on the text line asked, hey, well, what if they can't get a deal done with Trent McDuffie? Remember, if they couldn't get a deal done with McDuffie, they could still tag him. So, like, Trent McDuffie, there's a lot of scenarios, of course. You know, if two first-round picks are on the table like Sauce Gardner, then I'm willing to trade him, despite no matter how great I think Trent McDuffie is, and I think he's great. I would prefer them to sign him to an extension. But if there was actually an offer similar to the Sauce Gardner offer out there, you would definitely have to consider that. So I don't think the Trent McDuffie thing will change the Jalen Watson thing personally. Like, I think if Jalen Watson's going to get the kind of money people are discussing, then most likely he's gone no matter what path, whatever scenario. Now, I think the Chiefs will be drafting a corner in the first three or four rounds next year. I know you guys did your first mock draft. I've given you a hard time yesterday.
We had a corner right there, number two pick.
Yeah, you guys had a corner in the second round pick. You took a defensive lineman in the first, and I think they should go defensive line in the first round. But it's kind of interesting. What about these other names? The other name that stood out on the list, only because his name came up in Kansas City last week as a trade target. So on the early free agent ranking from Jeremy Fowler, number 22 is Boye Mafe, the edge from Seattle. We all know the report came out that the Chiefs thought the deal was almost done with Seattle. And once again, at the deadline, they don't make a move for a defensive player. But his contract's up. He'll be 27 entering next year. He's had a disappointing year so far this year. They're just not using him all that much.
He's not starting.
His numbers are down one sack compared to 15 during his first three seasons. But that's a name to watch. The fact that I know the Chiefs were willing to trade for him in March, that'll be, well, plenty of time to talk about it. But, like, that was a name that stood out on this list because we know the Chiefs clearly had interest.
If there's a name on the radar and they're showing interest, that interest will still be there because it's their guys. They're type of guys that they can come in here and bring the system. That's kind of what the Chiefs do, the MO. I'm not shocked they tried to trade Seattle because Seattle's been a very good trade partner with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Now, I will say previously, somebody that is coming along here, and maybe he's been even better than we realized, is Noel Williams. I think we've all watched him play and been really impressed for a rookie. He's picked things up quickly. Trent McDuffie the other day was very complimentary of Noel Williams, how smart he is. He's getting better. I think we all kind of would like to see him on the field a bit more. Some of it is also Jalen Watson's playing so well. But Noel Williams, I did not realize to this extent how dominant he's been. This is some numbers. Now, they come from PFF, but these are not grades. So this is why I'm okay bringing it up, because these are not PFF grades. These are just actual facts that PFF happens to have, okay? This is where Noel Williams ranks among corners. He is right at the top of the list in lockdown percentage. So this basically, you know, how well you prevent a receiver from getting open, right? Duh. Their criteria goes on to say it excludes plays where the defender intentionally gives up space to protect, like, the first down marker, okay? So Noel Williams, now there's only 112 coverage snaps, so he's way lower than some of these other guys. Trent McDuffie's on this list too. But 34 lockdown opportunities and 112 coverage snaps. 22 times he's locked down his receiver. That's 64.7. The only players, two of them, with a better lockdown corner percentage in football this year. Tariq Woolen, the talented corner, who's also a free agent, by the way, at the end of the year, for Seattle. And Sauce Gardner, who we just talked about, who's obviously viewed as one of the best. He has 73%. Now, Trent McDuffie's on this list as well. 286 coverage snaps, 95 lockdown opportunities, 56 lockdowns. That's 58.9%. That puts him still in the top eight in the NFL. I guess what I'm saying is no one's been better than we even thought. And I would like to see what happens, whether it's in the future, next year, which is going to have to happen, or even later this year, if he continues to get more opportunities, does he get exposed or does he keep doing this? Because he's got the third best lockdown percentage of any corner in football.
Shameless plug. You know, a lot of people give me crap about the draft and stuff. No, yeah. Williams is one of our favorites. We even brought his head coach on, Kevin Wilcox from Cal, to talk about him, because this is the rhyme or reason why the Chiefs draft people. He did lead the nation in interceptions last year. The guy's a ball hawk. He played exceptionally well, and one of the knocks, could he tackle? Well, his coach came on and said, no, he's one of the best tacklers we have. We put him at the line. He can do everything that Spagnuolo wants in the system. Extremely physical corner, and you don't lead the country in interceptions by not knowing what you're doing. He even picked off Cam Ward last year when Miami played Cal. So the guy can do it.
Cam Ward looks really good.
The guy, and he hadn't so far.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
But no, Williams has been fantastic. He had 14 picks back in college, but he is a lockdown guy. And it's a rhyme and reason why the Chiefs keep throwing darts at these corners, because this guy's going to be a star. In a couple of years, it's going to be, do you want to re-sign Noah Williams? That's going to be the big deal. Other teams are, like we talk about Jalen Watson being wanted, the way we talked about LeJarius Sneed being wanted. Noah Williams is going to be a guy. You think, okay, the Chiefs going to pony up and pay Noah Williams or is he hit free agency? Because that is a guy that will be coveted in the NFL.
But you listed off those names. I think they fit. This is where Trent McDuffie is different. So L'Jarius Sneed, really good corner. He's the type of corner you're fine with trading. Also the knee injury. But you have Charvarius Ward, as you brought up. Very nice corner. He is not Trent McDuffie. You know, this is why when people will talk this offseason about moving on from Trent McDuffie, the only way I'm interested in that is if I get two first round picks like I did for Sauce Gardner if I'm the Chiefs. So I like the Colts got for, or the Jets, I'm sorry, got for Sauce Gardner. I'm just saying it's one thing. You're right about the track record of corners. The Chiefs have a good one. There's a difference in letting a guy like Sneed or Ward or Watson walk and letting Trent McDuffie go someplace else. There's a difference there.
And there should be money. Last year, the Chiefs were expecting $270 million would be the salary cap. It was actually 279. And if you remember when those figures came out, they paid Smith, right? So as soon as these numbers came out, all of a sudden Karlaftis got his deal a couple days later. So yeah, the salary cap for the Chiefs, where's it going next year? Could it be 290? Could it be actually closer to 300? Yeah,
they're up against the cap. They got some issues there.
But the salary cap is going to go up. And it will. The salary cap went about $10 million more than what the Chiefs were expecting. That's why guys got their contract extensions. But yeah, Trent is definitely going to be there. Jalen Watson may not be a guy. It may be ponying up for an extension for Rashee Rice. Don't need to do it now, but he is eligible because he has 3 years of playing in the NFL.
Yeah, it's more of an offseason conversation for sure. But I you're right. The cap will go up, but they're up against it. They got to redo some Mahomes situation. I think they got to do something with Chris Jones' number. Trent McDuffie is going to be a mega deal if they get it done. They've and they just also have a bunch of expiring contracts. So
they got Karlaftis out of the way quick. That's helpful.
They did, and that contract I think will look fine as time goes on. I think it'll actually look pretty damn good as time goes on. But that's something to worry about. I know in a couple months, but it is, I think, tighter than it has been in a while when it comes to how they're going to have to handle the offseason. Whether you buy into. Look, they're not in step back mode, right? This is a dynasty. You got Patrick Mahomes. You got who knows how many more years with Andy Reid and all that. Like you're not taking step backs, but there is a point in time where financially there are consequences to operating. This is also why I think they didn't trade for anybody at the deadline. Bank, they need these draft picks because you need guys with control. You know what I mean? Like you've got to have some guys on this roster that you have on rookie contracts. Otherwise, with the amount of money they've spread around on some other deals or will have to spread around on deals, it's a problem.
And to their credit, the front office has been great. I mean, the draft has been great. I'll never forget Super Bowl 57, Chiefs beat the Eagles at the parade. You know, Veach holds up the Lombardi, mm-hmm. says, this is what a rebuild looks like. Because those seventh-round picks. I mean, right. A seventh-round running back starting. He had Nazi Johnson, seventh-round contributing.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll ever have a draft like that again.
But what I'm saying is he supplanted through the draft. Like, mm-hmm. they were up against the cap, but they were able to do it by not paying players money by getting these seventh-round picks that contributed. Grabbing a Trey Smith in the sixth round helped the Chiefs financially because those players are much better. And even this year, if you would say, well, getting a left tackle at the end of the first round in Josh Simmons helps the Kansas City Chiefs going forward because you're not paying top 10 money for a guy like Josh Simmons because the front office has been great. And I'll give Rick Burkholder, the trainer, a lot of credit because Trey Smith was a guy that everybody else passed on, but the Chiefs that typically step back a little bit when it comes to injuries, they were willing to do it. And this year, Josh Simmons came in for a top 30 visit. They were willing to do it. Trust me, a lot of that came probably from Rick Burkholder giving the okay.
Coming up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll talk more about what some of the top teams in the league have been doing that the Chiefs are in the bottom five in, plus all 32 right here on Cody and Gold.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.